How are y'all doing this morning? All right, everybody smile at me. All right, good. I'm excited about, we are concluding a series we've done this summer called Expect the Unexpected. And what's been so neat about this series is just the providence of God. This last passage is kind of the doozy. I enjoy it because Jesus really does blow our minds. In fact, we've been looking at this series, Expect the Unexpected, Lessons on Mission with Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we figure out he doesn't do what we expect. He sends us into storms. He walks on water. He calls people names. Last week, Devon did a great job of opening our eyes to that. And this week, Jesus does something that I've actually done before. And every time I've done this, you have to kind of be sneaky about it. You make sure the person's not looking. You make sure that they're not paying attention. And then you put your finger in your mouth. You ever done this? And then you jam it in their ear. Right? And every time I've ever done that, I'm inviting a fight, or I run to avoid the fight, right? And then you run. And yet Jesus uses this particular method to heal a man. That was a little bit unexpected, right? I've told the story about my brother getting near my face before, and I can see, imagining this guy as Jesus is coming in. He's like, what are you doing? And he doesn't just stop at his ears, as you'll see. He is... unexpected. So this morning, we're going to look at Jesus breaking our boxes. Jesus breaking our boxes. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, the last passage in Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. You can look on the screen. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. In the region of the Decapolis, that means 10 cities, it was a Greek kind of heavy saturated area. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. It's funny how much COVID has like affected us. Like we hear that, we're like, my kids, if they saw a movie and that happened, they look at me like, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. That's wrong. You can't do that. And he looked up to heaven and sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which is Aramaic. That is, be opened. This was the common language of the people. Most of the people in that area would speak this language. And his ears were opened and his tongue was released. And he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged him, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning see you in a deeper way. Help us hear your voice and be impacted in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. My main point this morning is that Jesus breaks our boxes for our benefit and his glory. Jesus breaks our boxes for our benefit and his glory. Jesus is getting to this place where he's already been breaking their boxes, their containers. They're trying to put, what we do is we take information and we organize it. And we say, God does things this way. He touches these types of people. He fits into our little containers. And then Jesus is perpetually and constantly pushing against that and tearing down the boxes we've constructed. And so Jesus has gone to heavy Gentile areas. He's healed Gentile people. He's preached to non-Jews. He's breaking down a cultural and ethnic and even a political box. It's amazing how Jesus does that. Last week, he healed a Syrophoenician woman. Jesus has, he's in a pattern of this. He went to Samaria and dubbed a Samaritan woman to bring a whole city to know him. Breaking boxes. That was not what was expected. That was not the way they wanted him to move. And yet here's Jesus just tearing down boxes. Tearing down boxes. It's interesting, when they came to Jesus, they said, they begged him, lay your hands on him. We want to take what God's doing and we want to formulaic. We want a formula. We want to turn it into something that we can use. Even when I'm studying these passages, I have a tendency in my own flesh is like, man, how does Jesus heal? This is how he does it, right? He lays hands. Maybe if we line all these people up, Jesus, and as you walk by, if we touch your garment, we'll be healed. We've heard you've done that. So let's have a healing line, and we'll get Jesus walk by, and we'll touch the garment, and we'll get healed. Everywhere we go, they're trying to push Jesus into a formula. But see, Jesus isn't about a system or a formula. He's a person. He breaks your boxes. He doesn't want to, he's not fitting in your political box. Let me just help you. Jesus is going to step all over it. Every political box you put up, he's going to tear it down because he will not be politicized. Here Jesus is. Can you imagine? Here, man, we've heard Jesus lay hands. Man, Jesus, if you lay hands on me, you get healed. Watch this. Y'all watch this. Come here. I mean, it had to be far enough away where they could see. It was private, but it couldn't have been that private, right? We're hearing about it. So we're watching. What's he going to do? All right. Now, can you imagine? They're over there writing this down. All right. So after church today, we're going to have a wet willy line, right? I mean, this is what we do. Well, we got a wet willy line here. Everybody that wants a touch, right? Nobody's lining up. Can you imagine the church meeting? All right, now it's COVID. What are we going to do with the wet willy line? Well, as long as we wear a mask, right? And after we suck our finger, we'll put some antibacterial on it. Right? We're doing everything to formalize this. It's got to be done this way. And we've been fine. I mean, that's a push, Blake. But then you see Jesus go like this. You're like Mr. Miyagi over here. All right, open up. No, bro, I'm done. I'm good. Right? Where's he going? He's going inside of his mouth. Man, that's not what we expected, Jesus. Because he's not going to be methodized. He's not going to be put into this system. I love that passage. We've quoted it many times, that quote from C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia. Is he tame? No, he's not tame. He's good. But he's God. We can't create God in the system and then force God into it, right? We have our theology boxes, and then God breaks out. I remember I was in college, I was a college student, and my friends had been receiving encounters with God. And I would watch their lives, and man, they were changed, and I'm like, I want that encounter. I want that experience. And so I would go to this Pentecostal church on the weekends, and it was a night service, and this is how God moved. You would come down front, you'd get real earnest, and then somebody would slap you, and then you'd receive the Spirit. And I would watch. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. I mean, I'm watching it happen. And so, man, I followed the formula, and every time somebody slapped me, I'm like, waiting. Nothing would happen. And over again, and I don't know if it was somebody that was ministering to me at the time, but I just knew, like, I'm not letting go. I'm just going to keep asking and wait for the slap, and something's going to happen, you know? And it wasn't in that moment. It was in a different moment. It wasn't according to my formula. I was doing all the things that everyone else was doing, and I wasn't getting my healing. Because it was funny. I was actually in a prayer meeting with Beatty and a high school friend of mine up in the mountains. I was ministering to these youth. We were 19, I think, Beatty, at the time. We didn't know what we were talking about. We were 19 leading this youth retreat, right? And we were praying, and I remember the Holy Spirit and the power of God coming on me. Not at the altar, not with a slap, not according to the formula, but according to God's will, according to his power. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit coming on me. Spiritual gifts and God moving. And I remember feeling God come on me and just changing me. Outside of my box, outside of my formula. Why? Because God wanted to know he's not limited to altars like this. The power of God isn't about a Sunday morning only. That the power of the Holy Spirit is out there in our midst. He also was showing me that as I want to be used by God, he would come on me, the power of the Holy Spirit, for mission, not for spiritual good times. See, the method that God used was to open my heart and mind to something deeper for my good. I had formulized it. If you lay your hands on me, I'll get healed. Well, how about this? I'm going to do it a different way to show you something different about who I am and what I'm calling you to do. See, he breaks our boxes for our good and his glory. Jesus breaks our personal space boxes, right? Just lay your hands on my back, that's enough. Now I'm going to put my finger in your ear. Okay? I can imagine that feeling like a little bit of a violation. It's amazing when Jesus comes into our life, we want to compartmentalize him. Jesus, man, you can have my finances, right? They're not good anyway, right? You can have my relationships. I mean, they're busted and broken. Right? You can have everything that's broken. But man, I'm doing pretty good over here. Don't be touching this. Oh, and can we imagine the Lord of the universe, right? Oh, thank you for this area. I'm going to respect your boundaries, right? No, Jesus isn't going to stick in your box. We want Jesus to be Sunday morning Jesus. I want my at-home live service Jesus. But Jesus wants your whole life. We want Jesus in this compartment. And yet here Jesus says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get in your ear. What is that? What are you listening to? Who's defining your world? What's wrong with the world, according to Jesus? Right? What does this world need, according to Jesus? Is he in your ear? It's amazing that we want this controlled experience with God. All right, you're over here, I got my spiritual stuff, but Jesus, you can't touch any of this other stuff. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to get inside your ear. It's amazing what pastors and leaders and life group leaders, what we're trying to do and what I have to do sometimes is, man, you're going through something. You're experiencing a struggle. What we have to do is get inside your ear and listen to what you're listening to. And you know how we know what it is? It comes out your mouth. Because your hearing and your speaking are connected. What we listen to and what we watch. It's going in. It's going in. And it's framing who we are and how we see the world. But then how often is Jesus in our ear? Are we letting the culture and what we see and what we listen to? Doesn't mean are we letting. That's funny. Are we letting? Are we allowing the culture to saturate our ears? Because whether we want it to or not, it's forming how we think about ourselves, who we are, and what we see in the world, and how we see them, whoever them are. Here's Jesus trying to get in your ear. He's trying to get inside of your ear and say, man, this is who you are. This is who I am. But we've got our ears so full of other things that we can't see what he's seeing. We want Jesus to heal our hearing, but this is what's awesome about Jesus. He doesn't just heal your hearing. He doesn't just forgive your sin. He wants to heal everything. Because what we hear affects what we say. And you don't know, when Jesus comes in and opens up your ears, it's going to affect what you start speaking about. And then you didn't realize, man, I was being isolated by this issue. Only certain people could communicate with me because I couldn't hear. But now that he's opened my ears, now he's gathering around people. See, I didn't just want to heal your hearing. I wanted to open your mouth. I wanted to give you a new community. Here Jesus is. Let me tear down these boxes because I've got more for you, for your benefit. Tearing down your boxes for your benefit. In this time in human history, when someone was captured, you'd bring them, another enemy would capture someone, they'd bring them in. In fact, I'm reading a book with Jed. Jed gave me a book recently, historical fiction, and this exact scenario was played out in the book. And I've been studying this passage, and when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I never would have seen it in that light before. And here, they've captured this guy, and they'd stripped him of his weapons. And you know what they did to him? They put their fingers in his ears and put their hands down his mouth to make sure he wasn't hiding anything. Nothing, no weapons hidden, no knives, no places to poke and prod. And see, when we come to Jesus, he's going to come in and say, man, do you have anything in there that's harmful? You have anything you're hiding? Because he's going all the way in the recesses of your life to see, man, you got anything that could hurt someone, hurt yourself? Jesus is after those things. He's after to take them out. Same thing you do when you walk through at the airport, right? What are they trying to see? Do you have anything harmful here? Are you bringing anything on this plane that could hurt yourself and others? Because we're in this together, baby. And so that's why it's so important that we get into our ears. What do we believe? Doctrine is important. Are we basing what we believe on this word or what the world says is right and true? Because I'm going to tell you, this is unmovable. And what culture says is right and true could change in a moment. Getting in your ears, getting in your mouth, to set you free. Because he's tearing down boxes. I mean, just think about this. Jesus could have healed this man by just saying something to him. What's he doing? Why? You know what I think is the heart of why Jesus is doing this? He wanted this man to understand what was about to happen to him. All right, I'm about to heal you. Well, he couldn't hear you, right? So I'm going to show you what I'm about to do. I'm going to open your ears. I'm going to loose your tongue. And he looks up, and it's going to come from him. What, did he need that man to understand what he was about to do? He didn't. Not to heal him. He didn't have to understand what was about to happen to him for him to do it. Why did he want him to understand? He wanted him to participate. Give me your faith. Give me your trust. You're going to have to trust a man who starts putting his hands in your mouth. Right? We're going to have to know each other. And even then, right, you're going to have to convince me. I'm either going to have to be really in need. Y'all remember Mr. Miyagi? Right? I'm going to have to be really in need, or I'm going to have to really trust you. And Jesus is trying to woo us into participating in the miracle. Participating with him. Tearing down our boxes for our good and for his glory. It's funny, last week, Devon mentioned an Old Testament character, Naaman. And I was actually thinking about that character even as I was studying this passage. And what, just to kind of give you an overview of what happened, Naaman is an army general in the Aramean army. And he hears about a man in Israel who can heal him. And so he goes to the king with all this money. He's like, I'm here to get healed. And the king's like, is this guy trying to pick a fight? Like, I can't heal this brother. And so Elisha finds out about it and says, hey, send him to me. I'll heal him. And he goes to Elijah's door, and Elisha doesn't even go to the door. He sends a servant to the door. He says, tell him to go wash 7 times in the Jordan. He'll be healed. And the guy's upset. This is what he says. I thought surely the man of God would come to the door, call on his God, wave his hand. He'd do it this way, right? I had a box. God works this way. And this is what God says to him. No, I want you to walk 7 times, wash 7 times in the Jordan. Why did he do that? The method was a part of the healing. The method was a part of the healing. Because what did this require of this man? He had leprosy, right? He goes down to the Jordan. He washes 7 times. If you're going to wash in the Jordan, you got to take off your robe. Here's a general. Here's a man who led armies. He looks at his servant. And maybe for the first time, the servant sees the depth of his leprosy. He's hidden it. He sees a little spot here. Maybe a little spot here. But when he gets down in the water, that man sees all his leprosy. There's certain healing that we won't receive until we let others see the depth of our sin. Oh, I got a little sin. I'm in struggling. Oh, brother, you ain't struggling. You dying. Right? How many times, man, pray for me. I'm being tempted. Okay. I'm going to pray for you being tempted. But really what's happening is I'm barely alive. Right? And so the healing we need isn't coming until we show the fullness of what we're struggling with. Well, we're good at hiding it. But we need somebody to stick our finger in the ear. Dig around. What are you listening to? What are you in? What are you saying? And the healing comes. 7 times, this servant sees Naaman in all his leprosy, and then he's healed. You know what's interesting about that story? He goes back to Elisha, and he starts unpacking the donkeys. I knew I brought all this gold and silver, so when I received it, about to pay for it. And so he starts unloading, and Elisha says, keep your money. Don't want it. What do you mean? If you've ever been given a gift you don't deserve, it feels like a violation. It feels wrong. This is what this guy is struggling with. He's like, I want to pay for this. I want to earn this. Can't earn it. It's done. That's why this man with his fingers in his ears, nothing that man could have done could open his hearing. Nothing. He received it as a miracle. We can't hear God in the beauty of the gospel until God opens our ears. It's his work. We have to receive it. Now, do you think this man participated in his miracle? Absolutely. You come up here and let me start sticking my hand down your mouth. Right? You're going to have to participate, but it's not active. It's receiving by faith. I'm going to let God do in me and to me what only he can do. But you got to allow him to do it. You could resist the work of God in your life. Get your hand off me. No, you can't touch that. No, I'm not. Can't know about that. And God's trying to come in and bring you healing. He's trying to save your soul. But you got to let him. And here Naaman is. What was his response in this healing? This is what he says. He says, you're not going to take anything? He goes, not a thing. What about this? Can I take some dirt from Israel? Because in their minds in that time, the land was connected to the God. He's the God of Israel. So he takes the land, 2 donkey loads full, back home, and sets up a little altar because he knew he was going to have to bow with the king. The king couldn't bow to his God without him helping him. And so what did he do? He set up an altar to God, the God of Israel, right inside the temple. So that he knew in his heart, man, when I bow, I'm bound to Yahweh, the God of Israel. It changed how he worshiped. It changed how he lived. Think about that. When we get saved, when Jesus opens our ears to the beauty of Christ, it changes how we worship. We don't change our lives so that God will love us. We don't work real hard so that we could receive the gift that God has for us. We receive it by faith. We let God save us because of what he did on the cross. We repent of our sin, our wrong thinking, our wrong understanding about who God is. We repent of what we've been using our lips to do. Why? Not to earn it, but in response to what he's done. We live differently because Jesus has changed us. It comes out of our mouth. See, God won't sit in our box. The culture wants us to, hey, have a private box for Jesus. That's your private stuff. But no matter what they told, no matter God himself told, be quiet. Don't talk about this. I can't help it. Like, he's changed me. He's done all things well. They're even quoting a reference to Isaiah 35. He opens the blind's eyes. He opens the mouth of the mute. He clears out the ears of the deaf. This is what's beautiful about the gospel. It is participatory, but you can't earn it. It's an active receiving. That's why Romans 10 says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. You've got to participate, but it's God who does it. You can't even understand what God's saying unless he opens your ears. He opens the ears and he opens the mouth that we might follow him and worship him with our whole lives. It's interesting how this even affected Naaman's everyday life. This was his job, to minister to the king, a pagan king. What did he do? He set up a place of worship right there in the middle of this pagan worship. We're living in a land increasingly growing, walking away from God. But we can set up an altar right in the middle of it and worship God through our work every day. You can take God to work. Take that. Naaman had to literally take dirt. You take the Holy Spirit with you. He will go to you with work at work. Your work can be worship. Your work can be worship. He's not going to be isolated to Sunday mornings or your devotional time or your podcast time. He wants to permeate everything. He's tearing down your boxes. He's even tearing out what you believe about God and what's true out of this scripture. Jesus, clear out my ears so that I might hear you. Help me understand the world like you understand the world for your glory and our benefit. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that you break our boxes. There's some of us even this morning, Lord, who have put you in a box as if you could be put in a box. We've isolated you to certain areas of our lives, certain areas of our culture, certain areas of our understanding, and you will not be hemmed in. Just invite you, Holy Spirit of God, come and speak to our hearts this morning. We're all at different places. We're all in different areas of our walk with God. You're highlighting different things for different people in here. But Lord, my prayer is that you would break down our boxes. Even point to those right now in our hearts. Put your finger on them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here this morning and you're not sure you're right with God, you're not sure you've trusted in Christ alone for your salvation, to give you an opportunity to respond in faith by raising your hand just as a symbol to say, I want to receive what God has for me. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Okay, if you raise your hand, you can put it down. I want to pray for you. Just right where you are. There's nothing magical about up here. Jesus can meet you right in your seat. You to pray with me this morning. Jesus, I don't know if I'm right with you this morning, but I want to know. I want to receive everything you have for me. I accept and receive that you did on the cross what I could not do for myself. You died my death. It was my life that deserved to die. And you died in my place. You shed your blood so that I could be forgiven. You were rejected, King Jesus, so I could be accepted. I want to be yours forever. Starting today, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Put people around me today, this week, this month, to help me follow you. In Jesus' name. Prayer for us this morning is that we would not put God in a box. He will not be stifled. If you're struggling with something and you need healing or you need a breakthrough, we are going to leave these altars open. No wet willy lines this morning, but we will pray with you. We will stand with you. I don't know if you realize this, but that deaf and dumb man could not have gotten to Jesus unless someone brought him there. Said they brought him to Jesus and begged. There was an advocate. There was someone who got him there. Sometimes we need just someone to stand with us. Just get me there so that Jesus can heal me. That's participatory, right? That's community. So we're going to open up the altars to stand with you and pray for you. If you need prayer, don't leave. Anything, James, we need to say before we leave? We walk in this way, so I'm guessing yes. No, you're just here for the altar. Okay. Let's everybody stand up. We're fasting this week. Don't forget, if you want to hit us up on Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7 o'clock to worship and pray. My encouragement to you is if you've never fasted, maybe join us in one thing. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's something that you can do without to help you connect with God. We're going to be praying all week, Monday through Friday, fasting. We're going to be here Wednesday night. So come and join us for worship and prayer. We'd love that. Before you leave, can you turn around and greet someone? Tell them you're glad they're here. Get to know them before you head out. We'll see you Wednesday night. If you need prayer, we're going to be up.